The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Welcome back. This is Paul Orlowski, and today our guest on God Calling is Father Alan Benander, who is a Norbertine priest. He's in California right now, but grew up in Cleveland. And Father, you had an interesting request, and I thought it was a great idea. Before we say much more, why don't you start us with a prayer?
Okay, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, seat of wisdom, pray for us. Mary, Queen of Martyrs, pray for us. St. Joseph, pray for us. St. Norbert Augustine, Michael, pray for us, and all the angels and saints of God, pray for us. In the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
First thing I noticed, Father, you started with Mary. Do you have a special devotion to Mary?
I do, yes. Yeah, Mary, ever since I was a little boy, I think the first prayer I remember learning was the Hail Mary in kindergarten, and I just fell in love with that prayer, fell in love with Our Lady. We Norbertines actually honor her as our spouse. She's a spiritual spouse, and my thesis was on Our Lady as the spouse of the priest. That devotion is making a little bit of a comeback in various circles of the church. You haven't heard much about it in recent centuries, but it's in the tradition. My own patron, Blessed Alan, he's my religious patron. He was espoused by Our Lady in a special, miraculous way. One of our Norbertine saints, St. Herman Joseph, had a similar experience. In fact, he got the name Joseph from Mary herself, because she says, I'm declaring you to be my new spouse. I'm going to give you the name of my spouse, my husband, St. Joseph. A number of other saints that I discovered in my research. I would even argue Bishop Sheen, the hopefully soon to be blessed Bishop Sheen, had a devotion to her. A number of things in his writings indicate that he that kind of devotion to her. He certainly had a deep devotion to Our Lady, as all the great saints do. So you can't go wrong with Our Lady. You can't say enough about her.
Our listeners here in Cleveland might know you as Vincent Benander. Where did you grow up?
That's right. So I grew up in Richmond Heights, went to St. Pascal Baylon Grade School, then St. Ignatius High School, and then John Carroll University. Played ball, studied math and computers at John Carroll, and big, huge fan of sports, huge fan of Cleveland sports teams. And believe it or not, even being out here in California, I'm actually missing the Cleveland weather around Christmas time. And all the listeners are saying that's easy for you to say. But
we may have to have you come back and play some outfield for the Indians this year. The bats have gone fairly silent, Father. It's a little bit rough this year. Sports are a big part of your life. In some articles I've read, in some interviews that you did about the discipline of sports and the perseverance it sometimes takes, which translates well into life and into the priesthood.
That's right. Yeah, no, it was my dad and really raised me on the things he knew best. He taught me baseball. He taught me math. And I was very grateful to him for that. He's a great dad, and he still is a great dad. So sports from the get-go. Just my brothers and I and our friends just play sports pretty much all day, every day, according to the seasons, baseball in the summer, football and basketball in the winter, et cetera. And as I wrote in a book that was edited by Trent Beatty, who is called Apostolic Athletes, I had a chapter in that book just talking about how various virtues that it helps instill in a man, which will help him be a good priest, such as discipline, humility in losing, which was a hard one for me to learn, because I'm sympathetic to Earl Weaver, the old Orioles manager, who said, just write in my tombstone, the sorest loser that ever lived. So that was, learning how to lose well was something that did not come naturally to me. but I had to learn it in some degree or another. And really, in my formation, actually, as a Norbertine, one of the books that I just read on my own was a book called The Catholic Ideal, Sports and Exercise, written by a man named Robert Feeney. And in that, he just goes through the various teachings of the popes and the saints and even some of the old Greek philosophers and how important sports is for the development of the intellectual and the moral and the spiritual life. So it's very important for all persons, I would say especially for boys, but also for girls as well.
But, yeah, and in my high school, there was no girls' soccer. There was boys' soccer. But now today, there are a lot more avenues for athletic competition and that discipline and that perseverance that you talk about, I think, which is a good thing.
Very, very important. Yeah, it's sound mind, sound body. You know, God, we're called to glorify God in the body, and so it's very important. And as one of the great ancient Greek philosophers, I believe it was Plato, said, most philosophical errors can be traced back to bad health. Was his opinion.
Okay.
Which there might be something to that. You know, bad health can create bad emotional state, which can screw one's judgments up. So anyway, you don't want to exaggerate it, but you also don't want to ignore it either.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Mm-hmm. How did your call develop? Who planted the seeds? How were the seeds planted?
Well, I mean, I guess remotely, I mean, just simply I said remotely, you know, just having a good, solid Catholic upbringing, go to Mass every Sunday, you know, say your prayers before meals, and just solid Catholic upbringing with parents just leading by a good example of just being honest, hardworking kids. St. Ignatius gave me a very good religious, well, formation in so many ways, but including in probably especially theology. We had a very good theology department, a number of good teachers there, including Mr. Jim Hogan, Marty Dibbets, Paul Prokrop, Mr. Brennan, and others, probably Mr. Hogan most of all, amongst others. And we went on some good retreats. Those retreats were very graceful, especially the Genesee Abbey, a Trappist monastery. So I got a lot of graces in high school. Still wasn't thinking about the priesthood. There was a moment of prayer while I was in college as I was considering marriage, actually. I was in a relationship that was potentially heading towards marriage at that point as a junior. And something came up in my prayer. I was thinking, I wonder if, you know, maybe God might be calling me to be a priest. We'll see. But I looked into it, but didn't really go far. Mm-hmm. And then I talked to some priest, and it kind of just petered out, that investigation. That the sermon got rekindled a few years later when I was working. I was probably, 24 years old. I became very good friends with a buddy who's still a buddy of mine named Eric, a good Catholic man. And he just introduced me to a lot of good Catholic material to read, a lot of good priests. I just learned a lot more about the priesthood and what it is, and about the religious life and what it is, and the good I can do. It gave me that desire, because prior to that, I had such my mind set on marriage for my whole life. I wanted to be just like my dad, get a wonderful wife like my mom is to my dad, and then have a lot of kids like my dad. I'm one of eight, and I thought 8, 10, 12, I'd want to have a huge family.
Okay.
So I didn't see how that would be fulfilled in the priesthood, but once I saw that the priest truly is a spiritual father, and he's espoused, I mentioned being espoused to Our Lady, he's espoused to the church, you know, in another way. So the priest really is espoused in a different and higher way, but he is espoused, and he really does become a father. And I've seen that in my priesthood. Their souls really do look to us as being their spiritual fathers, or even their spiritual or supernatural dads.
Father, why don't we pause right there and continue with your call to to the priesthood and to the Norbertine Order right after we take a break. We will be right back. Okay. This is Paul Orlowski. We're with Father Alan Bernander, who's out in California right now. And we'll be back right after this on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Father Alan Bernander joining us in Cleveland. He was Vincent Bernander. Father, tell us about the Norbertine Order, your call to that order, and the name change.
Okay, so the Norbertine Order was founded by a great saint named Saint Norbert in 1121. So we're actually celebrating our 900th jubilee. It's our 900th anniversary of the order this year. Christmas Day, 1121 was when it was founded. He was a great Eucharistic saint. He had a kind of a Saul to Paul conversion. He was literally knocked off his horse, similar to St. Paul, and was converted instantly. So he became a great ascetic, great saint during the time of the Gregorian Reform in the 12th century, along with saints like St. Bernard. So he was very known for his devotion to the Eucharist, devotion to sacred liturgy, and the order spread throughout Europe. It was given a big hit during the French Revolution. We lost a lot of monasteries, like 100, I want to say, during that anti-Catholic evil revolution. our particular abbey, St. Michael's in Southern California, an abbey, by the way, we just built a new abbey church. It was just consecrated last month, so it's a splendid new church. So hopefully some of your listeners, if they're ever visiting Southern California, can check out our new abbey. It really feels like a European abbey. It's really beautiful.
Oh, wonderful.
Our abbot and others did a great job on it. You can check it out online at stmichaelsabbey.com. But anyway, our immediate founding here in the States was due to seven Hungarian Norbertines who fled their Norbertine abbey in Hungary, in Csorna, Hungary, right around the time of the communist persecution in the 50s, and fled to America. And long story short, they ended up out here in California in 1961. They planted roots at what is now the old abbey that we just moved from. And so the rest is kind of history. That old abbey that we just moved from a couple months ago, we had a school there, a prep school there. At one point it was a seminary, but then it was for the most part a prep school. And I worked in there and very much enjoyed my work there with the students. And I'm still in touch with a number of the alumni. I just did a wedding mass last week for one of the alumni, who was also a baseball player. So we dedicate ourselves to teaching, kind of our primary apostolate throughout the centuries. St. Norbert didn't found it for that. The ancient orders like ours, that is like the orders pre-Trent, before the Council of Trent, we weren't generally founded for a particular purpose, at least ours wasn't. Our motto is prepared for every good work. Whatever we're called to do, that's what we'll do. Traditionally, it's been teaching. We've also taken on parish work. I've done a lot of right-to-life work, a lot of work with the pro-life movement in recent years. We've done prison ministry. And really, again, it could be anything, but traditionally it's been mostly schools and parishes. But although we would say the primary work, well, that's our external work. So primary work, though, is our work in the church of offering a reverent mass and celebrating the liturgy of the hours, that is the chanting of the divine office in a reverent manner throughout the day. I mean, we're kind of like monks, strictly speaking. We're called canons. Mm-hmm. But we do chant like the monks throughout the day. We pray a lot. I mean, I think on average we're praying, you know, in the community 3-4 hours a day, and that's not counting private prayer. So it's a very contemplative community, devoted to the Eucharist, devoted to Our Lady, faithful to the churches and our teaching, but also very active at the same time. And I was looking for something like that when I was looking for a religious community.
So that you actually went looking for various orders and their practices and chose the Norbertines.
I did, although I hopped upon the Norbertines by accident, as usually happens, and as often happens, it had something to do with baseball, because I was not looking to leave Cleveland at all. I love Cleveland. I love my hometown. I still do love it. I wasn't looking to leave, and let alone go out to California. I'm from a close, tight-knit family. I didn't want to leave my family. But I said, I'm going to go to the best place I find, and I just happened to be the Norbertines. And that same buddy, Eric, that I mentioned earlier, he had set up a trip out to see the Norbertines, and he invited me, but he enticed me by saying, hey, you know, we'll go see some ball, you know, the Dodgers games out there, the Giants out here, and that's what got me going. He's like, yeah, by the way, we'll miss a visit that monastery. I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. And it turns out we go to the monastery, and it was great. It was right off the bat. I was like, this place is awesome, and I decided to stay for the rest of my life.
Yeah. And what about the name change?
So the name change, so when we, like many religious orders, maybe even most, but certainly many religious orders, you get a religious name on top of your baptismal name. You don't lose your baptismal name, which for me is Vincent de Paul, as well as I'm Vincent Joseph, after Vincent de Paul and St. Joseph. But you get a new religious name, and in our order, the custom is you submit three names to the abbot, and he chooses one. And I chose Ignatius after St. Ignatius of Loyola, my high school patron, and St. Peter Julian Aimard, who was the patron of the parish that I was at. He's the patron of the order at St. Pascal Baylon. And then I chose Blessed Alan de la Roche because he was a great devotee of Our Lady. Like I said, he considered himself to be the spouse of Our Lady, married the spouse of the priest, so he had that kind of devotion to her. And the real kicker was he's the patron of my great uncle and godfather, who's like a second dad to me, my Uncle Al.
Mm-hmm.
So I have my dad's first name as baptismal name, my uncle's name is my religious name. So it's great. I'm really glad I got Blessed Alan. I'm working on getting his works translated from the Latin to English. That's one of my life projects, and getting him well known, because he had such a devotion to Our Lady and to her rosary And I think he could do a lot of good for the church if we spread devotion to him. So,
well, now you mentioned Latin. Much of your mass, many of your masses, are either partially or fully in Latin.
Yeah, so every other day it's in Latin. And that's just following the Second Vatican Council's, really the spirit of this council, that while the vernacular was allowed, the council was very clear that Latin is still holds pride of place. And so every other day we do it in Latin, just in following the tradition of the church, reminding us that we're Roman Catholics in America, not American Catholics, but Roman Catholics in America. And so every other day is Latin, every other day is English. So I think generally four days a week will be Latin, 3 days a week English. For the special solemnities, it'll also usually be in Latin as well. Although even the Latin masses, the readings are in English. The readings, okay. Of course, the homily is going to be in English.
I was downtown for an event a couple of years back. It was not too far from St. Stephen's over on, I think that's 45th
okay.
Street.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so they do the mass in Latin there. So I saw that the mass in Latin was whatever time it was. I was 10 minutes away, so I went over for the Latin Mass, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, I'll remember all this stuff, because when I became an altar boy, it was in Latin, and,
right.
And I was an altar boy when it changed over to English, so
right.
I thought, oh, I'll know all this. So I got in there. I didn't remember any of it, except for the Paternoster.
Right.
Every altar boy remembers the Paternoster.
Right.
But
One just clarification is that just the Mass we do, it's not, at least the community mass, it's not the traditional Latin mass. It's not the Missal of 62. It's
okay.
A new Missal in Latin. Although a number of us priests, including I myself, do love the 62 Missal. And when we say a private mass, many of us do say that. But the community mass is the
okay.
New mass in Latin every other day and every other day in English.
The music was much different at St. Stephen's as well. It was gorgeous. Beautiful choir.
Chant throughout the mass, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Father, stay with us. We'll be right back. This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski, and Father Alan Benander joining us, a Norbertine priest from the Cleveland area, and a big baseball fan, as am I. Stay with us. We'll be right back on God Calling. This is God Calling on AM 1260 Cleveland Catholic Radio, and Father Alan Benander is joining us now from the Cleveland area, Vincent Benander. Father, you mentioned sports and baseball a couple of times, and we talked about perseverance. You call yourself the Senior Rookie of the Year. Tell that story real quickly.
Okay, so I went to John Carroll University after going to Ignatius, and I did well at Ignatius. I didn't want to break too much, but I did lead the team in hitting that last year, and we had a really good team that almost won the title. One of our guys, Matt Cato, went to the big leagues. It was a fun year. Unfortunately, I broke my leg playing against our rival St. Ed's in the last
year. Ooh.
So I missed the entire playoffs, so I had to watch from the bench as my guys made a run but lost in the semifinals. But anyway, so then I went to Carroll. Yeah, it was just a combination. Again, I don't want to sound like a baby or make any excuses, but, in the end, I did really poorly in the tryouts. Largely because, one, my heart wasn't into it. I was coming off the injury. As much as I love John Carroll, my goal was to have played at a Division I school. And so having played at a D3 school, I was like, my motivation wasn't real mm-hmm. high, and that affects you a lot in sports. So I played poorly in the trials. Plus, I thought I was going to be given a spot on the team based on my performance in high school. Well, that wasn't the case because it was a new coach who didn't know me, like a new Pharaoh kind of. Although I'm still friends with this new coach. He and I have stayed in touch, Coach Brewer. So he cut me, and I was shocked. I'm like, what the? I thought I could walk on in my sleep, and I guess I was misjudged it. So next year is the same, more of the same. You know, it was another injury this time. That was one thing. I never could have been a big leaguer just because I was so injury prone. But I got hurt again with a back injury. Same thing. My start still wasn't really into it, but I'm like, I'll try out. Just whatever. You can expect the results. It was very mediocre, and especially considering I had already been cut once, I got cut again. Third time, now my heart was new because I'm like, okay, now this is a challenge. Now I'm better going to make this team. And I actually did really well in the third tryout. I did really well. But the coach, he was like, well, I've already seen you twice, so you're too old, so it's no good. I'm like, I'm not going out like this, because I'm like, I had very high goals as a ball player. I was like, I want to be at least, a D1 ball player or a minor leaguer. Big leagues would have been too high, but anyway. I'm like, I'm going to try it again. I'm going to make this team. Well, I had a really, really, really good tryout. I think I even led the fall league. They have a league that where you practice as a tryout, and I led all the players in hitting. But he got cut again, and I just went to the Blessed Sacrament that night, and I just poured my heart out in tears, saying, "Lord, I gave you all this time in playing this crazy sport. I give it all back to you." in front of Buzz Heckman. I'm like, but I'm still going to go back to the coach and give him a piece of my mind. And so I went back the next morning, and he gave me like a 10-minute lecture. He started giving me a 10-minute lecture on why I didn't make it. But then at the 10-minute lecture, much to my surprise, without me even saying a word, he said, but if you want to be on the team, you can be on the team. I'm like, sure. He just changed his mind. Reminded me that the line of the scripture says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. It's like maybe it was my going to the Blessed Sacrament that night before that was part of it. I know my brother who was on the team, I think he gave his disagreement opinion to the coach about that. But anyway, I was on the team, and I did well. I ended up, you know, whatever, hitting like 350 or something like that. And they gave me the Senior Rookie of the Year. I earned the coach's respect. And like I said, he and I are still friends to this day. So
I've never hit 350 in my life, Father. Never. There's nothing like taking a called third strike with your father there in the dugout looking at you.
Right.
Get the bat off your shoulder and take
a
swing.
That's right. Yeah. At least give it a shot. So
back to baseball. You've actually said mass in major league, two major league teams.
Yes. I, for the Dodgers and the Angels, and I had great experience with both. First was with the Angels, and I met Mike Socha, a former Dodger player, mm-hmm. And then now former Angel manager, but really kind individual. I can't say enough about how hospitable he was, and he paid attention to my whole homily. He didn't sleep at all, paid attention. It was Trinity Sunday, if I recall. This was maybe 4 years ago, something like that. And yeah, just very hospitable. He gave me and my server, he's not with our order anymore, but he was actually a former pro ball player. He left pro baseball to be a seminary. Name's Grant Desme. Look that name up. That's a great story. Grant Desme. He's married now, but he was with us for 7 years, and he helped set up that whole, he got me in contact with the Angels. He gave Grant, associate gave Grant and I, some nice gifts, tickets to the game. It was very hospitable. Then I went to the Dodgers, and I said, masses for the Dodgers twice, I believe.
Okay.
At least two times. And I met Vin Scully there, very, very kind man, humble man. I remember, you know, I was just like kind of in awe of him because I felt like a little kid around him. Like, even though I'm the priest for the mass, I'm still a little kid inside with guys like this. And like, hey, Mr. Scully, you know, call me Vin. You know,
yeah.
He was the lector.
I've heard him give some little pep talks here on EWTN. So he's a very devout Catholic, I know. Father, I hate to say this, but our time is about up. Went very quickly.
Appreciate it. And if I can give you a blessing and for you and the listeners.
Please.
Through the intercession of Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, and St. Joseph, Holy Spouse, and all the innocents of God, and may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, descend upon you, remain with you forever. Amen. Benedictus Deo Potentis, Patris, et Filii, Spiritus Sancti, et Trinitas, Vobiscum, et Semper. Amen. Got the English and the Latin in there, so.
You did. That's good. Father, thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you. Keep up the good work.
Folks, we hope you join us next week at the same time. God Calling, the name of the program, talking about vocations. This is Paul Orlowski. Have a great week on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.